a very strong jobs report for July. Plus, Donald Trump names his advisory team. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There was news this morning that 255,000 jobs were added to American payrolls in the month of July. A separate survey of households has the unemployment rate holding steady at 4.9%, the same slice of a slightly bigger pool of workers this month as more people participated in the jobs market. The headline number is much higher than forecast. In early trading today, key stock indicators were up. In the case of the Dow, it was up about 0.8%. But let's try this 255,000 additional jobs, two strong months in a row idea on Christopher Lowe, the chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Chris, how does this report look to you?
It was terrific. Viewing just this one month in a vacuum, we've got strong job growth in goods-producing sectors. Private services were decent. And even the government added 38,000 jobs, which, considering government spending fell last quarter, that's a big deal, too. Taking a step back, a little perspective, it's the second big jobs number in a row, and it follows a five-month weakening trend.
It's hard to fit these last 2 months of strong payroll figures with that anemic gross domestic product figure that we had in the second quarter.
It suggests we may see some upward revisions there as well. The GDP data have been revised a lot. It's something that happens when growth is start and stop. And start and stop is actually not a bad way of describing the last couple of years in the economy. Turning points are always harder to measure, and it seems like we're always turning. The employment numbers tend to be a little more accurate in that sense. So despite the Brexit referendum and all those headlines, the jobs data suggests the economy is chugging along just fine.
Another piece of news coming out this morning, Chris, I don't know if you saw this, but details of Donald Trump's advisory team are coming out, and it has some names that you will recognize with your office near Wall Street. People like the Vornado Realty Trust founder and chairman Steve Roth, John Paulson, the hedge fund guy, and even some economists, David Malpass. Where was he? He used to be at Bear Stearns, right?
He was at Bear Stearns. And before that, he's had a political career working for some Republican presidents over the years. He's also a go-to guy on the op-ed page of the Wall Street Journal, usually talking about why some Democratic idea isn't going to pan out. There aren't very many economists on this list. These are people who actually have found ways of building successful businesses, building successful market portfolios. They understand market strategy. I don't think it's necessarily a bad approach. We economists, I'm sad to say, haven't done a very good job in the last decade.
All right. The perspectives of a chief economist at FTN Financial, Chris Lowe. Thank you.
Thank you, David.
This week, the Hillary Clinton campaign filed the paperwork for its transition team. Campaign Chairman John Podesta and a longtime aide Mignon Moore will run the process, although that campaign hasn't yet announced the actual people who will lead the economic transition team itself. One of the sweeping questions swirling around every Olympics, apart from doping, is the issue of legacy. What will the games leave behind? Can the fancy buildings get reused in practical ways? Controversy persists in London even after that city hosted what were generally seen as a successful set of games 4 years ago. Marketplace's Stephen Beard went back to London's Olympic Park, where a piece of it is now transformed into a technology hub.
To everyone in this stadium attending our opening ceremony, welcome to London.
After the triumph of the London Games, the race has been on to win that most elusive of all Olympic prizes, a genuine legacy.
More than ever, we need to talk about the Olympic values, how we remain connected and competitive.
Claire Cockerton thinks she can both harness the Olympic spirit and use 68,000 square feet of empty office space left over from the London Games.
This is going to be transformed into an innovation center for technology companies, both big and small.
The plan is for high-tech entrepreneurs, designers, engineers and investors to engage in that universal sport, rubbing shoulders. Gavin Poole runs the whole complex, offering
lots of spaces where people will have what we call the bump and mingle, talk, discuss ideas and think of tomorrow.
Not everyone's a fan. One critic called the Olympic Park a frigid wasteland, and tech writer Rupert Goodwins doesn't think you should even try to create a cluster.
If you've got a really good idea, you can do it anywhere. One of the biggest competitors to this sort of huge tech business park model is the fact that lots of successful companies that just exist online.
But this major online sports channel has moved into the complex. Two universities and many other organisations are renting space as well. The place is unique. Claire Cockerton says if her new tenants tire of bumping into each other, mingling and thinking about tomorrow, they can always use some amazing facilities.
Take a break and go for a swim in the London Aquatic Centre, the world's fastest pool, or take a lap around the Velodrome, which is a few paces away.
The Innovation Centre is scheduled to be fully open for business next year. In the Olympic Park in London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
We also talked to the ex-convict artist who taught the bigot, take two. We also talked to the ex-convict, take three. We also talked to the ex-convict artist who taught the biggest bank in America quite a lesson. It's at marketplace.org if you're interested in that one. His name is Jesse Crimes with a K. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.